You know, Unity was founded in 1889 on the power of prayer. In particular, the power of prayer to heal. And next week, I'm starting a series about the spiritual principles of healing. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, our co-founders, they healed themselves with prayer, and then they started praying for other people. And pretty soon, they just made sure someone was always praying over the prayer request that had come in by letter in those days. They first called it the Society of Silent Help. Now it's called Silent Unity. And this year, Silent Unity is 125 years old, which means someone has always been praying at Unity for 125 years of unbroken prayer. This coming Thursday is Unity's World Day of Prayer, when Unity people all over the world join in prayer. There's a big celebration at Unity Village, our world headquarters, which is outside of Kansas City, Missouri. It starts on Wednesday night, continues all day Thursday. There's a prayer vigil, there are services. A lot of it is live streamed, so you can watch it on your computer, worlddayofprayer.org. In fact, you can go there today and submit names to be included in the prayer vigil. You can also light a virtual candle to show that you'll be praying at the same time. And there's a map already showing candles lit all over the world. worlddayofprayer.org. So, today seemed like a good time to talk again about prayer. Questions keep coming up about it. We are also strengthening the prayer foundation of this church today. A little later, we will install our 10 new chaplains. When you're a minister, people talk to you about their spiritual lives. I mean all people, not just church members. Once they find out I'm a minister, they bring it up. So I was talking to this woman. She's not a church member. I was buying something from her, but she knows I'm a minister. And she started talking about prayer. And she said, "I used to only talk to Mary, but now I'll talk to whoever answers." And I've been thinking about it ever since. Who does answer? Or what answers? And is it different for everyone? And does it matter who or what you pray to? In Unity, we have what we call affirmative prayer. We also hammer on the belief that you are divine, you are God in human form. So people understandably get confused about prayer. If I'm divine, then who am I praying to? And I'm sure I've contributed to the confusion because I say all the time, there's no wrong way to pray. And then I talk at great length about how to pray. And how different it is from what most of us were taught. So let's talk about who hears your prayers, because I happen to know the answer. Who hears your prayers? You do. That's what's important. Prayer does not persuade God to change his mind and give you something. Whatever you want is already available. Prayer shifts your thinking so you are open to receive. It's a consciousness conditioner. And that's the only reason the words we use are important, because they shift your thinking. Yes, God knows your heart. And no, the universe does not speak English. Prayer does not require words. It's connection or immersion in the divine. It's knowing the presence of pure being. Sometimes it's just breath. And yet, we humans think in words and pictures. And if every thought is a prayer, then we want to pay attention to what we're thinking or visualizing, because that's what we'll get, because that's what we are creating. You've heard me talk often about the three faces of God. All the world's religions view God in three basic ways: God within, God as all there is, and God in relationship to us. Most religions pick one or two and vehemently reject the others. Christianity has been very big on God in relationship, to the point of separating God from us. God is out there, watching and judging, or maybe loving us. And we talk to that God to ask for help or forgiveness. Christianity has not been very tolerant of the idea that we are divine, just as Jesus was, and that's what he came to tell us. It's actually an ancient belief, but it was stamped out early on. Buddhists are more into God is all there is. They don't have a deity. So it's not a relationship, it's alignment or oneness. You could even say Buddhists are meditating but not praying because they're not talking to anything. So you see, how you pray depends on how you think about God. In Unity, we are working with all three ideas: God within, God as all there is, and God in relationship. But we don't always differentiate them. We usually jumble them all together. So no wonder it's confusing. You might want to spend some time thinking about which face of God works best for you. And it can change from day to day. But if you want to pray, are you acknowledging God as all that is? Are you feeling filled with awe or gratitude? Or are you drawing from your own divine strength, calling on the Christ within? Or are you relating to something or someone, whether you call it God, angels, guides, Jesus, ancestors? Because the prayer is for you. It's to shift your thinking, to bolster your faith, to clear the way or allow the good into your life, to remove any blocks of worry or fear. That's why we call it affirmative. We affirm the good. Prayer works. Prayer changes things because it changes you. When you are in a different frame of mind, you are creating differently or attracting from a higher level of consciousness. We talked about this in terms of prosperity this summer using Eric Butterworth's book. He said, "The power and presence we call God is fully available at every point in space," which means whatever you want is not in a celestial warehouse somewhere, waiting to be sent to you if you pray in just the right words. Whatever we want is already here, ready for us to call it forth, to bring it into form. And that's what prayer does. Prayer is focused thought that moves energy. It changes the way we see our lives within, but it also changes our lives because we're consciously shifting energy in the direction we want, and we're opening the channels for more divine energy to pour into our lives. This is a lot to remember when it's new, and it takes practice. It's especially difficult to try out new forms of prayer when you are sick or scared or upset about something. And help is a complete prayer. But if you want more, if you want to reframe the issue and shift the way you think about it, then a good dose of affirmative prayer might be helpful. And that's why we have chaplains. The chaplains have practiced affirmative prayer until it's natural for them. They can stand in faith even when you might be sick or scared or upset. When you ask a chaplain for prayer, they are praying from a consciousness of the divine instead of to someone or something. They are drawing from their own divine resources and reminding you of yours. The same thing happens when you call Silent Unity, by the way, and it is still available 24/7. The number is 1-800-NOW-PRAY. Affirmative prayer is a wonderful way to begin to think differently about a problem, or what you've labeled a problem, and shift your mindset about it. When you feel better, you are creating from a better place, and you are open to receive. So let me tell you about our chaplains. Most Unity churches have a formal chaplain program, and for a lot of reasons, we haven't done that in the years since I got here. But we've had prayer teams, two of them. One is the silent prayer team, which is 25 or 30 people who are church members who just volunteered to pray. It's not a secret who they are, but we don't announce their names and make a fuss over them like other volunteers. Prayer is the way they are serving, and it's fine with them to be behind the scenes. So when you put a prayer intention in the prayer box at the back, those are emailed by me to the silent prayer team, and we pray with you all week. Your prayer intentions also go to Silent Unity, where they are put in the chapel where someone is always praying 24 hours a day. and it stays in there for 30 days. So when you submit those little blue prayer slips in the back, you really get blanketed with prayer. The second prayer team has been the people you see on Sundays offering the gathering prayer and staying after the service to pray one-on-one with you. Those are the people who have now had extra training to become chaplains. Partly to formalize that the structure of that prayer team, but also to emphasize the power of prayer in this church. Prayer is the foundation of unity. The chaplains were trained in how to pray, of course, but also in how to pray with someone else. So let me tell you the parts that affect you, so you'll know how to work with a chaplain. First of all, don't hesitate to ask them for prayer. They will rotate being chaplain of the day each Sunday. Someone will be up here before and after the service, available to pray with you. And the rest of us, try to remember to leave that corner clear. We can all create a sacred space of prayer over here, even if no one is praying at the moment. When the chaplains aren't praying with someone, they are holding high consciousness for all of us. Then when you do ask for prayer, remember they don't need the whole story. It's actually better if they don't hear all the details, even if they're a friend of yours. When they are the chaplain on duty, the conversation is different. So instead of, "My sister's in the hospital and I'm so worried, the doctor said she might need another surgery," you can just say, "My sister's in the hospital, I'd like to pray for healing." And that's enough. The chaplain's job then is to pray from a consciousness of God, to know our oneness with God, to know that all is well. That means they won't get into the story with you. They won't say, "Oh, that's terrible, I'm so sorry," the way a friend might. They won't ask for more information, maybe a name. They might say, "Well, what is your sister's name?" And then let's turn to prayer. Chaplains just pray. Their only job is to pray with you, not to chat. So please don't stay after the prayer to chat. Even if you see them up here not praying with anyone, please don't go over to chat. They're on duty. They're waiting for someone to come and ask for prayer, so you can catch up with them later. By the same token, they will not take you on as a client. They have had drummed into them no counseling. So they will not refer you to this great doctor they know about or some local agency that could help you pay your rent. Chaplains just pray. They also won't follow up with you. And this is part of confidentiality. If you run into a chaplain you've prayed with at the new HEB, they won't say, "So how's your sister who was in the hospital?" You can bring it up, but for them, it's confidential forever, even when they see you later. That also means that telling a chaplain is not notifying the minister or the church. So if you ask for prayer because you're having surgery on Tuesday, no one else will know. If you want the minister or the care team to know, tell them too. Chaplains just pray, and they hold it in confidence. Even if you come back and say, "My prayer was answered, my sister was healed, or I got the job," it's still confidential. You will have to spread the good news yourself. Even though a chaplain will be on duty each week, they'll rotate, they're never really off duty. They're now wearing gold name badges that say chaplain, and any chaplain will pray with you anytime. So if you're already in the kitchen and you don't want to come back in here to ask for prayer, or a lot of people are waiting, another chaplain can pray with you anywhere. And it's fine to just stop and pray in front of everybody. In fact, please do not go off alone to pray somewhere. It protects you and the chaplain and the church. I expect to see people praying all over the place. And the rest of us will just kind of edge around you, because we'll see you're in your own prayer bubble. So we're going to install our chaplains today for the year. We plan to do this every year, adding new chaplains as we go. I want to make sure you know who they are, and we also want to honor them for their service, their willingness to pray with others. Part of their job is to stay prayed up themselves, so they're already tuned in when you ask for prayer. Every chaplain says it deepens their own spiritual journey to pray with others. So you're really doing them a favor when you ask them to pray with you. So let me show you first. We have a stole for the chaplains that is gorgeous. Look, it's blue on one side and has colors, my colors, on the other. Isn't that pretty? They didn't make it for me, but I love it. Jan Gavain and Susan Cranshaw, two of the few remaining women on earth who can sew, made this. Eventually, all 10 of our chaplains will have one, but today we're sharing one. And so you will know now which chaplain is on duty for that day, because you'll see them wearing this prayer stole. When ministers are ordained in Unity, they are given a stole, the ordaining person, which will be Tim next summer. Whoever's becoming a minister that summer, the chairman of Unity Worldwide Ministries ordains them in a ceremony at Unity Village by putting a stole around their necks. So I brought my ordination stole with me, which you might never have seen. Isn't that pretty? Yeah, I wear it at weddings sometimes. I used to have a robe too, but it was so hot, I just couldn't do that. So we thought we would use the same kind of ceremony for our chaplains with their stole. So let me call them up. Tim Alderman, Marge Barlow, Susan Cranshaw, Jan Gavain, Santa Heinemann. Santa will not be in the Sunday rotation. You know, she's our Director of Youth and Family Ministries. She took the chaplain training because she prays with kids all the time, and sometimes with teachers and parents. You don't have to stay alphabetical. Oh, Jan McGowan, Judith Ruth, Molly Steele, Sherry Stockman, and Maggie Wagner. So I'm going to start at this end. Oh. And when I say we bless you, I am speaking on behalf of all of you, okay? And then they are each going to share their pledge as a chaplain with you. So, Tim, we bless you with our love and gratitude.
And I pledge to stand for you, with you, hear your prayer, and know that it is answered in the right and perfect way. We bless you with our love and gratitude.
As a prayer chaplain, I pledge to be present with awareness and warm acceptance. Susan, we bless you with our love and gratitude.
I commit my willingness to hear the concerns of all with a compassionate heart and to pray those circumstances and conditions into the all-loving Spirit of God. We bless you with love and gratitude.
And I intend as a prayer chaplain to be a conduit for God's healing light and love and power and wisdom, while acknowledging and recognizing the inherent goodness and wholeness and perfection of all of who you are and in all life.
Santa, we bless you with our gratitude and our love.
It is my intention to pray with each of you and your children, of course, and our volunteers, grounded in love and the love of the one power and the one presence as I move out of the way and let Spirit work through me. bless you with our love and our gratitude.
As a chaplain, I promise to listen with my heart and pray with unconditional love. Maggie, we bless you with our love and gratitude.
Thank you. As a prayer chaplain, I promise to be prayerfully vigilant for all of you in this community and hold you not only here, but as I go out in the week, and keep you all spiritually grounded in my heart. Sherry, we bless you with our love and gratitude.
As a chaplain, my intention is to listen without judgment and to see you as one with spirit, at peace in your highest and best situation.
Bless you with our love and gratitude.
My intention is to listen to you with my whole heart and to pray with you lovingly. Jan, we bless you and hold you in the best.
Thank you.
I'm going to keep it.
And so it is.
Thanks.
Okay. So, as your prayer chaplain, I intend to listen actively with unconditional love, with confidentiality, and focus on that unconditional love with compassion. And so it is.
So would you all like to bless them?
Yes.
We can use the same blessing. You want to stand? Okay. We bless you with our love and gratitude. Chaplains, we bless you with our love and gratitude. Thank you. Go ahead. And so, with that prayer energy circulating in the room, let's take a few moments for meditation. When we meditate, we become still and quiet long enough to remember who we are. We acknowledge the one presence and power in our lives. And we immerse ourselves in that presence, knowing we are part of it, part of that one mind, that divine energy that is the universe. It is from this higher level of seeing that we call forth our highest and best. Sometimes you might be able to name it and sometimes not. But it is with this Christ energy within you that you create your experience and respond to whatever happens. We are grateful for this awareness, grateful for these 10 chaplains who have offered to serve with prayer, grateful for their hearts wide open, for their confidential listening, and for all the ways they will remind us that we are God too, and all is well. And so, knowing that we are one with the infinite mind and the love that is the foundation of the universe, we say thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.